Thank you and good morning. Small wildfires have kept the Humboldt-Del Norte unit of CAL FIRE hopping over the past 3 days. The small Stafford Fire, burning alongside Highway 101 near Rio Del, has burned less than 30 acres and is 90% contained, but it's located in tough terrain and mop-up operations will continue through the week. To the east, the Summit Fire that ignited Friday afternoon near what is suspected to be a large marijuana grow about 8 miles east of Willow Creek has burned about 30 acres and containment is listed at 30%. To the south, the residents of Lake County who endured severe fires last summer are dealing with another severe wildfire, the Clayton Fire, which has burned more than 1,500 acres and forced the issuance of evacuation orders for residents near Clear Lake. The cause of the fire is under investigation. Dozens of homes and other structures are threatened by the fire, and firefighters are dealing with very rugged terrain and high temperatures. The sheriff's office is investigating a shooting incident in Willow Creek on Friday morning that sent an adult male victim to the hospital with at least one gunshot wound. The victim was airlifted to an out-of-area hospital for treatment, and the sheriff's office is searching for at least two suspects. Deputies responded to the scene just off Sabretooth Road on a report that two or three men had just robbed a man at gunpoint and stolen his yellow pickup truck, and it was then reported the victim had been shot. Detectives have opened an investigation, and no suspects have been identified. Anyone with information is asked to contact the sheriff's office. The Fortuna Police Department is searching for a suspect who walked into the Redwood Capital Bank branch in Fortuna on Friday afternoon at just before closing and robbed the place. The suspect, who was wearing a black and orange Giants baseball cap and who can be seen in still photos released by the police department, brandished a handgun and demanded money from a teller. The suspect then fled the scene with an undisclosed amount of cash and remains at large. The city of Eureka has issued a list of candidates who have qualified to run for two city council seats in November. Heidi Messner will run for the second ward seat, and she will run unopposed after both Chet Albin and Matthew Owen dropped out. In the 4th Ward, a seat vacated by Melinda Cherubellini, who announced last week she wouldn't seek re-election, John Fullerton will face off against Alan McCluskey. Anyone else interested in running for the 4th Ward seat has until Wednesday to have their candidacy qualified. Jordan Christmas has news from Humboldt State.
The fall semester at Humboldt State University will start on August 22nd, and more than 8,600 students are expected on the first day. HSU is expected to see 1,344 freshmen this fall, and 59% of that freshman class will be first-generation college students, with the biggest portion of the students coming from the Los Angeles area. Move-in Day starts today, and it will kick off a series of events throughout this week on campus, such as orientation and a freshman welcome at the Redwood Bowl.
Thank you, Jordan. Highway 199 at the California-Oregon border was shut down for several hours on Saturday morning after a logging truck rolled over in a single-vehicle incident. Through traffic was down to one-way controlled traffic until about 9 o'clock, and the driver suffered minor injuries and refused treatment at the scene. The cause of the crash is under investigation. You're listening to KINS North Coast News. We'll be right back after this.
What's the shopping show all about?
If you haven't listened to the show before, it's kind of tough to describe.
I guess the easiest first step is to simply go to the Shopping Show website.
TheShoppingShow.net.
And join us this Saturday for the next Shopping Show.
On KINS 106.3 FM.
KURY FM 95.3 and 101.3 in the Illinois Valley.
And KEKA 101.5 and 100.9 in Eureka.
You're listening to KINS News and Information. District Attorney Maggie Fleming would like you, all of you, to be as fully informed of the actions of her office as possible. But with a caseload of hundreds of misdemeanors and felonies on various court dockets each week, that's not possible. Fleming pointed out that not only is the caseload too heavy to provide a press release on the outcome of each, she's bound by an ethics code that prevents her from discussing the specifics of a case while it is still active. Fleming compared what she can talk about with what police can release during an investigation.
It's interesting because when you watch sort of police officers' briefings, they can provide a lot more information than we can. You know, I'm not to comment on the results of the DNA test. I'm not to, you know, do a press release on those sorts of things because of the fact that if it's pending criminal case, you're tampering with the process.
The DA's office performs its work in a public forum, and the information about a case is available to the public through a phone call or an email.
The flip side is there's a lot of information that is public knowledge. So, for example, once we file a case, arraignments, the next court dates, those sorts of issues, they're in a public courtroom. The public's invited to attend. So there's a lot of public information it's readily available. I'm not sure necessarily that everybody knows, you know, how to get that information versus what we do as far as press releases.
You can listen to DA Maggie Fleming discuss this issue and others on Talk Shop by visiting our website at KINS1063.com. And that's the news on this Monday morning. For KINS News and Information, I'm Dan Squire.